And so death passed upon all men. All have sinned. But because of that great love, God made it possible that we could be reconciled unto Him. Certainly we give Him praise, we give Him glory, and we honor and we magnify His name for the love that He extended toward us. We are so thankful this morning that we have this opportunity to come inside of these walls just to say thank you, Lord. As it has been expressed already, we are grateful for everyone who is present, and especially those who may be visiting with us. We thank you for coming our way today. We trust that your stay will be an enjoyable one, so much so until at the very next opportunity that you have, you will come and be with us again. And if, perchance, this is your first time visiting with us, we would encourage you to fill out a visitor's card. You'll find one of those located in the pocket of the pew in front of where you're sitting, if one has not been given to you already. Please take one of those and fill them out. They'll be asked for in a later part of our service. But please know that we are so grateful that you're with us on this day. I want to continue a thought that we shared with you on last Sunday. As Brother James has already mentioned, that for the Christian, every day is a day of thanksgiving. We are aware of the goodness of our Lord, and so we continually give Him thanks. Well, last Sunday I talked about having a thankful heart. But I realize that sometimes people may not know how to really have a thankful heart. So I felt then I should share this lesson with us today. Learning to be thankful. Learning to be thankful. From our text on last Sunday, and we won't go back there today, but I'll just refer to it. In Luke chapter 17, we studied about the 10 lepers that were cleansed. And only one came back to give the Lord thanks. But when we look in the Bible, we'll find that we are commanded, and we find examples of those being thankful. Paul encouraged the Ephesian Christians to be thankful, Ephesians 5 and verse 20. He encouraged the Colossian Christians to be thankful in Colossians 2 and verse 7, Colossians 3. In verse 15. And our perfect example, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, also was one who was thankful. Matthew 11 and verse 25. And this morning's scripture that we read, we are taught that it is God's will that we be thankful. Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 says that in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do you realize that in order to go to heaven, we must do the will of the Father? So if it is the will of the Father for us to be thankful, if we are not a thankful people, we're going to miss heaven. Matthew 7 and verse 21 says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So Paul says to these Thessalonian Christians, that is the will of God, that you be thankful. So if you're not a thankful people, and if I'm not a thankful person, and if I leave this world not being thankful, and if you leave this world not being thankful, guess where we're going to spend eternity? Do I have to say it? Hell will be our home. So we need to learn to be thankful. We need to learn to be thankful. We don't just wake up one morning and automatically become a thankful people. It is through our life experiences, through the teaching of our parents, our relatives, and others who have influence in our lives, and through the instruction and exhortation from the Word of God, that we learn to be thankful. Do anybody wake up and all of a sudden they're a doctor? They're a lawyer? They're a teacher? They're a nurse? They're an electrician? They're an engineer? We have to learn these things. Being thankful is the same way. We have to learn to be thankful. Again, the reason why many, perhaps, are not thankful, and the Bible talks about there are some who are not thankful. Romans chapter 1 talks about some folks that were not thankful. The reason why some people are not thankful is because they have not learned to be thankful. There's a certain disposition, there's a certain attitude that must be within us that will drive us to give thanks and to be a thankful people. What then are some things that will help us to develop this attitude of gratitude? This morning and tonight, if it be the Lord's will, we're going to be talking about six things that will help us. I'm going to try to get three in this morning and three in this evening. In the first place, the reason why some people have not learned to be thankful is because they have forgotten about the goodness of God. So we should never forget how good God is. Some people don't realize how good he is. Some people have realized and has forgotten how good he is. Every day we wake up, we ought to be reminded of this verse, James chapter 1 and verse 17, where James says, every good gift and every perfect gift. Where does it come from? It comes from above. Come down from the Father of lights. And this Father of lights, James says, he doesn't vary. In whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God blesses us over and over and over again. There's not one blessing that you could name, as we talked about last week, you know, the song that says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. There's not one blessing we could write on that sheet of paper that didn't come from God. Every good gift and every perfect gift, it comes from God. The psalmist says in Psalms 103 and verse number 2, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and do what? Forget not all his benefits. Many people, again, have forgotten all the blessings that God has given. And that was one of the things that the Lord didn't want his people to do in Old Testament times, and certainly don't want us to do it today. Don't forget about me and my goodness and my blessings. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, and verse number 10, the Bible says this, "And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage." And he goes on and he says this, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shall swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth." What did God say? God says, when you get into this land and you get all of these good things that I have blessed you with, don't forget about me. And don't go after chasing after these other gods, lest I destroy you from off the face of the earth. Do you not know that as you continue to read in God's holy book, that these people forgot God? And I am convinced the reason why they forgot about God is because they were not really thankful for how well God had blessed them. Because if they had truly been thankful, they would have stayed with God. But you and I know, as you read the Bible, you'll see that it wasn't too many years. Well, it was several hundred years, of course. But in the space of time, it wasn't too many years before they started chasing after other gods. And sure enough, God took them out of their land and sent them off into a land of captivity. All because they forgot him and they were not thankful. When we forget how God has blessed us, we'll not be thankful and we'll start doing any and everything that we think we're big enough to do. Because we're not thankful and we've forgotten God. But again, the psalmist says, "Bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits." Don't ever forget how God has blessed us. If we truly are going to be thankful, we've got to remember that God is a good God and he blesses us with good things. No wonder the psalmist would also say in Psalms 107 and verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth throughout all generations." Are you thankful this morning that God is a good God? And that, as Brother Darrell referred to the scripture in Lamentations chapter 3 this morning, that his mercies are new every morning. Over and over, he extends his mercy toward us. Let us never forget that. And when we realize how merciful God is and how good God is, hopefully that will help us to be thankful, to learn to be thankful. You see, forgetfulness is an enemy of gratitude. In other words, we'll never be a thankful people if we forget how good God is. Somebody wrote this as words of wisdom. "Blessed are those who give without remembering, and those who can receive without forgetting." But you know, when I looked at that statement, I saw something in there. I saw that so many people give and they keep writing it down on the book that I've given. I'm not talking about giving in the contribution. That may work that way too. But I'm talking when you give and when you help people, you keep an account of that. They are remembering that. But then when they receive, I see what the statement is talking about. How soon they forget. We should also, I believe, live by these words of wisdom. Give without remembering, but receive without forgetting. So again, God's folks received all of God's blessings, houses they hadn't built, wells they hadn't dug, all of these things, vineyards and olive yards they hadn't planted. They were eating and they got full and they forgot about God. All of that they received and they forgot. It's no wonder they weren't thankful. It's no wonder they went chasing after other gods. It's no wonder God had to punish them because they forgot how good God was. Let us never forget how good God is. A second thing, I believe, that ought to help us to be a thankful people is to strive to not let your troubles overwhelm you. In this world, we're going to have troubles. Jesus told us that, didn't he? John 16, verse 33. In this world, he says, you shall have what? Tribulations. But he says, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. We're going to have our troubles. We're going to have our heartaches. We're going to have our ups. We're going to have our downs. But don't let the ups and don't let the downs and don't let the all kinds of misfortunes trip us up and overwhelm us. Learn how to count our blessings and not our misfortunes. All this has happened to me. Folks don't like me. Folks on the job mistreat me. All kinds of things, and we count all of those things, and we forget about, again, how good God is to us. Because out of all of the things that we go through in this life, God is still good. He's still good. And the psalmist said it like this in Psalms 27, in verse number 13. He said, I had fainted. I had given up, basically, is what he said, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know what the psalmist was saying? I had my troubles. Enemies were after me. I went through all kinds of things, and I would have given up. But I was able to come to myself and say, in spite of all of this, God is still good. So I'm saying again, don't let your troubles overwhelm you. Count your blessings and not your misfortunes. Fanny Crosby, who was a blind lady, way back in the 1800s, in spite of her blindness, in spite of her, quote, handicap, she still wrote a beautiful hymn, A Wonderful Savior. It's in our books. A blind lady wrote that. Out of her blindness, out of her misfortunes, she was still able to write that beautiful song. In verse number 2, I believe she was addressing perhaps her situation. She said this, or the song says this that she wrote, A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. giveth me strength as my day. And perhaps you know it, the refrain, he hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life with the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. Fanny Crosby didn't let her misfortunes cloud her vision, even though she couldn't see, of the goodness of the Lord. Matthew Henry wrote in his diary of his thankfulness after having his house robbed. He said three things, and this is what he said. Number one, he says, he never robbed me before. Number two, he says, he did not take my life. And number three, he says, it was he that robbed and not I. So he says, I'm thankful because he never robbed me before. He didn't take my life, but it was him doing the robbing and not me. He could have easily, if you will, become so bitter because he had been robbed. On the other hand, he was thankful. When something happened, quote, bad to you, can you still be thankful? I believe as children of God, as we trust our Heavenly Father, that we ought to find something in whatever, however we end up into a misfortune, we ought to find something in that to still say, thank you, Lord. God is still good. He's still good. We should put our faith in these words that we are so familiar with in Romans 8, verse 28. You know what it says? Paul says, and we know. We are confident that all things work together for what? Good. Now, here's the caveat. To them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Paul says, if you love the Lord, Jesus defined what loving the Lord really means. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He that loveth me, he says, keepeth my commandments. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my commandments. That's in Romans 14, down by verse 21 and 23. So, Paul says now, if we love the Lord, we're doing the will of the Lord, everything that happens to us, good or bad, is going to work for our good. May all of it may not seem so good to us at the time, but it's going to work out for our good. We've got to learn to put our faith in that. And when we can learn to put our faith in that, that means really believe what the Scripture says, then we can learn how to thank the Lord in the darkest of times, in the hardest of situations. We can still learn to be thankful. So whatever situation we find ourselves in, we can still be thankful. Therefore, problems, distresses, sufferings, whatever they may be, we can know that God will see us through it. Not only will he see us through it, but he'll walk through the situations with us. Y'all remember Daniel? I'd rather not Daniel, but Meshach. Well, Daniel would be one, too. But the one I want to reference is Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. You know, I used to call them the three Hebrew boys. Y'all remember them, don't you? Y'all know that the commandment was given by the king that when you hear the music, you're going to have to bow to the music. In other words, give me obeisance. Give me worship. That's what the king was saying. They knew they weren't supposed to worship nobody but the true and the living God. And so they determined that we're not going to bow. As a result of their not bowing, they were thrown, the Bible says, and this is in Daniel chapter 3, into the fiery furnace. But the fire didn't do them any harm. King Nebuchadnezzar came over and looked into the furnace. And this is what it says. Daniel 3 and verse 23. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the fire, or the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, you're right, king, we did. That's all we threw in there. We only threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nobody else. But then, notice what the next verse says. He answered and said, lo, I see who? Four men, loose. See, they threw them in there bound. But he said, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt. I want to tell you, when you go through the fire, if you're doing God's will, you won't have no hurt. You may hurt physically, but I'm talking about spiritually, you'll have no hurt. So he says, I see four men walking in there. And the fourth, he says, is like who? The Son of God. You know what that passage teaches me? That those men were in the fire, but the Son of God was in the fire too. So when you're having your troubles, when you're doing the will of God, we're in our troubles, yes. We're in our struggles, yes. We're having our difficulties, yes. Problems are besetting us on every side. But when we're doing the will of God, Christ, God, is right there walking with us. I know he's in heaven, yes, but he's also right there with us. So again, in our darkest hour, the Lord is right there with us. And when we realize something like that, I believe we can learn to be thankful. Thank you, Lord, that you can be right here beside me when all kinds of things are going on in my life. But because you love me and you care about me, you're going to take care of me. So I thank you. Can we not learn then to be thankful when all kinds of things are happening? Let's be a thankful people. But again, you don't wake up in the morning and automatically be thankful like that. Because when you wake up in the morning, and I'm not talking about in the morning, I'm talking about when you come into existence, so to speak, and when you learn, you know, right from wrong and those kind of things. When you're a little child and somebody take your toy, what you want to do? You want to fight them. You ain't thinking about thanking the Lord that you had a toy for him to take. So you don't just wake up being thankful. You have to learn how to be thankful. So again, I'm saying to us, let's learn to be a thankful people. And then lastly this morning, and this sort of goes along with the second one, concentrate on the blessings you do have rather than what you don't have. That'll help you to learn to be thankful. So many people are not thankful because they are concentrating on what they don't have rather than what they have. Let us reflect on such scriptures as 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Paul says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. I profess to say to us today that if we can't be content, we won't be thankful. Paul says, you didn't bring nothing in the world. You're not going to carry anything out. You came in here with nothing. You're going out here with nothing. At least now you got food and raiment. So you ought to be content. You ought to be thankful. So again, I said, let's concentrate on what we have rather than so much what we don't have. Realize that life does not consist in things. If I can just get more toys, if I can just get more this, more that, I'll be satisfied. I'll be happy. That's not what life is all about. The rich farmer made that mistake, thinking that life was all about the things he had. That's why he tore down the bigger barns and built bigger barns. There was nothing wrong with that. But you know what he was doing all of that for? To store all of those things up for himself. He thought life was about all that he could have, all the stuff he could have. That wasn't what life was all about. The reason why Jesus told that story was because there were two brothers. Go to Luke 12. Start reading at verse 13. There were two brothers there, and one came to him and said, speak to my brother that he may divide the inheritance with me. Jesus says, who made me a judge over you? He said, beware of what? Covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things that he has. And so he goes on and he tells the story. I want to say to us this morning, we'll never learn to be thankful if we're always concentrating on what we don't have rather than what we have. You see, life, again, Jesus says, is more than food. It's more than raiment. It's more than shelter. It's more than all of these things. Luke 12 and verse 23, Jesus said, life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. You're concentrating on what you don't have? Well, the reason why you may not have it is maybe a reason for that. God knows, perhaps, maybe you don't need it. He's already promised us that he's going to provide our needs. But if we're not content with having our necessities, again, we're not going to be thankful. Because we think that the Lord is overlooking us. He's blessing Jimmy more than he's blessing me, you know. Well, that's God's business, how he bless folks. That ain't my business. God knows how he wants to bless each one of us here this morning. And so if I have more than you or you have more than me, let us not become upset with God and not be thankful for what he has blessed, because he doesn't have to bless us with anything. So let's concentrate on what we have rather than so much what we don't have. But again, we don't just wake up feeling that way. We wake up wanting everything we can get. We got to learn to think differently. God has said if we seek the kingdom first, that all our necessities will be added unto us. But you know, it's a funny thing, Brother Willie, as I was preparing this lesson, I thought about a song. We don't sing it here too much. Maybe once or twice, maybe we've had it or whatever. But I hear it sung in various places. It's a good song. But the song says, part of it, I'm not going to quote all of it, any way you bless me, Lord, I'll be what? Satisfied. Now, we may sing that song. We'll pat our feet. Move our head to it, because it sounds good and it is a good song. But are we willing to live what that song just says? Any way you bless me, I'll be satisfied. But then I turn around and get discouraged because the Lord blessed Jimmy more than me. But I just got through singing the song, any way you bless me, I'll be satisfied. Y'all heard that saying, if you can sing a lie as well as tell one. If I can't be satisfied with however the Lord blessed me, if I sing that song, I've just told or sung a lie. And what the Lord says about liars, Jimmy? You know that no liar shall inherit eternal life. That's in the book of 1 John. You'll get that, Brother Dennis, when you get over to verse number, chapter number 4, I believe it is. You know, he says, no liar has eternal life. But yet I've sung that song, patted my feet, bowed my shoulders and head. Any way you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. And then I get discontent because I don't have what James has. You know, I don't have what Brother William has. I don't have what Sister Marilyn and Brother Marvin have. But yet I just said, any way you bless me. So I'm saying, don't stop singing the song. Just learn to live by the song. Let's be satisfied with however the Lord blesses. But again, we got to learn that. We don't just wake up feeling that way. I'm talking about learning to be thankful. And talking about life does not consist of things and how people misplace their values by putting all their values in things, or these physical things, we need to really value what's important. And that's the spiritual things that we have. That's the greatest blessing that one could ever have, is spiritual blessing. And all spiritual blessings, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3, they're in Christ. Paul said to those Christians at Ephesus, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's what we truly ought to be thankful for. If then we are truly thankful, and if you're not in Christ, you ought to want to be in Christ, because that's where all spiritual blessings are. So you need to learn to be thankful that God gave us Christ so that we could have the spiritual blessings that we need. All spiritual blessings, they're in Christ. We have a loving Father who wants the best for us, and he wants us to be with him throughout eternity. But without those spiritual blessings that are in Christ, we'll never be with God throughout eternity. So you ought to be thankful this morning that you can have those spiritual blessings in Christ. Well, do you wake up and automatically you're thankful for those spiritual blessings? Well, I say, no, we don't automatically do that. Because if it were not for God's word, we would not know that we needed to be in Christ to get those spiritual blessings. So now that we have God's word, and we've just shared that scripture with us, then we ought to be thankful that we can have those spiritual blessings. And if we're out of Christ, then we ought to want to get in him so that we can have those spiritual blessings. God is such a good God, as I've already said. He's so good until he's not willing that not one person perish. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want nobody to perish. Doesn't want anybody to be lost. He wants everybody to come to heaven. But you know what? As much as God wants everybody to come to heaven, everybody got to want to go. Because God is not going to force anybody to come where he is. We got to choose to go where God is. How do you do that? You choose to go where God is by obeying his will. But again, if you're not thankful, perhaps you won't obey his will. He wants all men to be saved 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And salvation comes only in Christ Jesus. Closing out with this scripture. 2 Timothy 2 in verse 10. Paul says, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation, which is where? In Christ Jesus. Are you thankful for the salvation that's in Christ? Are you in Christ? To be in Christ means to be in His church. You can't be in Christ and not in His church. Because His church, the Bible says, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, His church is His body. After all, Paul even said, he encouraged the Colossian Christians to be thankful. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, he says, give thanks to God in that one body whereby you're called. So are you thankful then for that body? Are you thankful for His church? I hope you're thankful for His church, because that's the only way we can get to heaven. It's through His church. But again, you don't just wake up and thank Him, being thankful for that, because you got to learn that. And you learn that by studying His word. So are you a member of the church? And when I talk about the church, I'm not just talking about any church. I'm talking about the one that you can read about in the New Testament. And there's only one there. It's the church of Christ. Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God wants everybody to be saved again. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. How are you going to save them? I'm going to save them through Christ, because salvation is in Christ. The church is the body of Christ. So you can't be in Christ unless you're in the church or the body. And the body of Christ is the same thing as saying the church of Christ. There is one body, Ephesians 4 and verse 4. God wants everybody to be members of the same body, Ephesians 3 and verse 6.